You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan. We're talking. Sorry.
Yeah, Foster ended sort of abruptly there. Whoops. We were still chatting here, yeah. But welcome back for another week of the M Squared TechCast. I'm your host, Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
Yes, and we're both here. And we're here with someone we've both known for quite a while in previous incarnations in
Long
my case.
Time.
Yes. He is Dan Keelan, and he's here to talk about a new partnership with the guy across the table from me here, Mike Brennan. So why don't you take it away, Mike, and tell us what you're up to.
Well, I'll let Dan kind of walk you through it. It was his idea. Last spring, we were at a Chinese-American event.
We were at Next Energy.
Next Energy.
Yep, yep.
And you approached me and told me what you were up to, and I said, well, keep me in the loop.
Yep.
The long and the short of it is that the main part of it is Dan has a new publication called Global Automobility, well, why don't you take it from there? I mean,
sure.
You explain your publication. It was your idea. I'll let you explain we're doing.
So we started almost a year ago now. Working on global automobility, and the idea was a niche brand. So publication, perhaps an event focused on all the leaders of companies that are innovating initially around self-driving cars. And then as we wrote about it and talked to people, we realized how much bigger it is than it sounds. It became about smart cities. It became about IoT. It became about artificial intelligence. It impacts places you wouldn't think of right away, like insurance. There's a big safety concern, so it's a big area. We started talking about it, and Mike and I saw an overlap. So we thought, why don't we join forces and see if we can do something to highlight? A lot of these companies are in Southeast Michigan, but a lot of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to highlight what they're doing, and kind of help them get to this B2B audience that they need to be talking to?
And it also includes stuff that I'm doing. He can pick up my videos or my audios,
yep,
or whatnot. We've already begun to share some ads with 123net. We're promoting them,
okay,
jointly together. We have other elements. Again, I'll let you explain what those other elements are that we can bring into the picture. They are not partners per se, but
right,
they are media. What do you want to call them?
So the people in our environment.
Sphere of influence.
Yeah, you know, I look around the table, and I've worked with everybody here for a long time, and so that has touched business-to-business radio, TV, business publications. And what's been great is as we've talked to the heads of companies that want to get their point of view out, they'll say things like, well, in addition to this content you're helping me create and all the, say, ads related to it, could you get me in a business publication? Do we know people in town on business radio or public radio or public TV that could be part of this? So it's turned into an opportunity to pull in lots of media that are people that we already know, kind of friends and family approach, but really to the benefit of these business owners and leaders who really need branding. Because I think where it started for some of these initial conversations was a point of view that kind of went like this. You know, you're talking to someone that's doing some really important, very technical work, and the reality is they may not have a brand that enough people recognize. Or the individual leading the company may have a point of view, but no one's really hearing it. And so we've been trying to help them write their story and get it out there. So the more connections you can make, the podcast, the publication, the stream, the print, the radio, the better it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of those, can we name, is it safe to go ahead and name some of these folks that we have this relationship with that we can bring into the mix?
Well, I'll tell you, one of them that's really exciting for me is the one you wouldn't think of. So WRCJ is the classical and jazz public radio station down behind the DSO in a high school, in an arts-focused high school. And so it sounds like music, and it sounds like the arts, and it doesn't, if you're a business person, may not sound like a big audience, but man, if you look at the 200,000 people they reach every week, and then you look at where they went to school and their income level and where they live and the companies they run, there's a big crossover between that audience and the audience that I'm reaching in the publication or the audience that's listening to this podcast, right? Because they're the decision makers, and if I'm trying to grow a company in Southeast Michigan, I want to hit that whole community of people who are part of helping me make my business grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So is there going to be a website, a publication? I mean, what is the ultimate goal here?
Yes, if we've launched an initial site. So if you go to globalautomobility.com, you'll basically see the online newspaper. And we're just right now working on kind of the second version of a fuller site that'll include audio and video. But we've been publishing to globalautomobility.com for the full year. So you can go in, you can read the content. There's an archive section. You can look at previous content.
And then there's the events element. We have a couple of events we're trying to develop. Well, again, why don't you go ahead? Again, I'm letting you run with the ball because it's really your idea, and I'm just partnered with you. So tell them about that.
So one of the things that we're testing out right now, and we've got a couple of interested sponsors, is what to do something that really impacts the community. So one of our assertions is, you know, when you think about a company that's trying to really make a name for themselves, they're great at what they do, but they also are great at making a difference in the place that they live. So one of the things that we're trying to get launched right now with our partners in public media is a way to do kind of a give back to the community. Part of what's going on with about five different sponsors right now is we're pulling them together to help fund a program that'll get music instruments and music education in the hands of at-risk kids. So that becomes a mission for us. It becomes a way that we can connect with not just the kind of successful, wealthy elements of the region, but really with everybody in the region, and then kind of challenge our business partners to do more than advertise what they do, but to actually get involved in making the community a better place.
And let's talk a little bit about one of them that we hope to develop, but we got to make I think we waited maybe a little too long. We probably should have started this a little earlier.
Yeah.
But the 12 Days of Music.
Yeah. So the 12 Days of Music is going to be a campaign people are going to hear in December. And it's kind of the way we're branding this give back campaign and this way to touch at risk youth. I think what you're talking about, Mike, is how big does it get? And so we're still trying to see how much we can put into it. But at a minimum, it's going to be a campaign people are going to hear about on the air. It's going to touch certain schools in the Detroit area. And so it'll be an opportunity, I think, for business owners and leaders to do something important. And that is to really make a mark in their community as part of telling the story about what they do.
Okay, and then we're also looking at for NAIAS, aka the Detroit Auto Show.
Yeah.
The last 2 years, they've had this huge group down in the basement, Automobility.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, there was 57 companies. We're trying to develop something as we speak right now, where we can offer some sort of exposure to various partners out there that may or may not be involved with those folks in the basement. If they are, it's just an added benefit.
Yep.
But, I mean, the whole point would be if they are in the basement, I mean, because that's kind of like Brigadoon, it only lasts for a few days. It's there during press preview days. It's there during industry days. So that's Sunday through Thursday, and then poof, it's gone.
Right, right.
So the general public doesn't actually see that. It's really aimed at the industry. And so if we can partner with some various companies that are exhibiting down there, we can drive folks to their booths so they can check them out.
Mm-hmm. There's a great relationship between what you do in, say, digital and broadcast media and what happens in events. Because events, make all of that much more real for the person who's attending the event. But it works the other way around too, because if you've got an event and it's a day, or maybe it's even a few days, you're right. At the end of it, you look back and you go, well, that's over. But if you have a partner who's helping tell your story through the podcast, the publication, a series on the radio, whatever it is, it takes that investment in an event and it makes it bigger.
Right.
It makes it an online event, and it makes it an event that lasts a longer period of time.
Yep.
So, you know, what kind of interest are you getting? What segments of the autonomy and connected vehicle industry are you getting the most interest from?
Not what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. At first there was a great event at U of M Dearborn where they unveiled a self-driving bus that the students actually had taken apart in. It was a big student project with corporate support. So this was like back in the spring. So I'm at that event and I'm thinking, well, this is cool. And this is kind of nerdy stuff, right? But I start thinking about the sensor technology and the headlight that can kind of tell if, you know, something gets thrown out in front of the car. So I'm thinking it's all about that. The biggest questions, though, came from the bigger business community, the financial side of the community, not so much the tech. The HR side is huge. How do you recruit for people to fill the jobs in an industry that's growing this fast? Mm-hmm. And how much of that's coming from Southeast Michigan and the big universities, how much of it is coming from anywhere else? And then for me, the big surprise was insurance. How do you, in Michigan, how do you provide no-fault insurance when the system's based on the first driver being a human being? Because if the first driver isn't a human being, then the math is wrong, right? So I'm not an expert in that, but I know enough to know that, I thought the interesting stories were going to be about the technology, and the interesting stories are about the domino effect. Like, how does a city have to change? What does the smart grid have to do? What does the insurance platform have to be like? Mm. How do you think about safety? Because that comes up a lot. How do you recruit for the jobs? So to me, the interesting thing was how much bigger the potential list of stories can be. Even though on day one it was like, hey, let's write about self-driving cars because that's a cool thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was at the Ward's Auto User Experience Conference a couple of weeks back because a Lawrence Tech person was on a panel. I just wanted to go and hear it. But it just struck me that there is no better example of how this is all changing, that auto parts companies now have job titles called User Experience Architect. You know, I mean, and who would have thought that out of an auto parts company, you know, even 10 years ago?
Those are the titles from the web design companies from 10 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Huh.
But that's what I mean, and when it comes time, you know, for you know, once they're not selling, gee, it handles great, or it's, you know, fun to mash down the gas pedal, you know, that kind of thing. What are they selling anymore? Well, what they're going to be selling is user experience.
Right. Right.
So
the I guess the other thing I want to mention, because it was again kind of fascinating and surprising, we did an event, or we helped in an event in Troy. So early, Ara Tapuzian is the head of the Troy Chamber.
Sure.
Great guy, and he wanted to do an event in earlier this spring. It was called The Future of the Self-Driving Car. So I thought, well, this is awesome. So we worked together. We promoted the event. They did a panel discussion and then questions. Every question was about safety. And the tone in the room was, if one person gets killed because of a self-driving car, the game's over. It wasn't like there's an acceptable level. And so, again, it turned into a broader conversation about safety.
All right. Well, I'm afraid we run out of time in that segment. Dan's going to be with us for the rest of the hour. We'll see if we can get some of this other stuff in there.
Yep.
Happy to.
But it's globalautomobility.com. I just looked there, and it's an interesting collection of stories from all over the world, as the name implies.
Yeah. There you go. All right. We'll be right back with another segment. But first, this is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch.
And you've been listening to M2 TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hello, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are listening to another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast. And we're here now with someone from the Michigan Small Business Development Center.
And a frog in your throat.
And a frog in my throat. Joshua Marco. Welcome to the show, Joshua.
Good afternoon. Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy to you too. So you want to talk to us about an event that I've actually attended a couple of times and found it thoroughly enjoyable. Michigan celebrates small business. It is a rite of spring in Michigan for small businesses, and it has been for some time now. Tell us, what is this event? How long has it been around? What's it intended to celebrate?
Yes, absolutely. So this will be our 15th annual Michigan Celebrates Small Business Gala coming up May 8th, next spring. And, you know, Michigan Celebrates exists as an independent nonprofit organization, but the gala in the spring is sort of the point of celebration for the statewide small business community, as well as a lot of the high growth and successful small business in the state.
Okay, and so what types of companies get recognized? I've been to this event, I don't know, four or five times, but other folks probably haven't. So who can, I guess, start off, who is eligible? Let's start with that, because I know there's some cutoffs, right?
Yeah, great question. There's a variety of different award categories, but I'd say that one of the most common criteria across all the different awards that we do is that typically awardees are high growth second stage companies, and that's particularly true for the Michigan 50 Companies to Watch award category. There's also a variety of other award categories as well. A lot of tech companies are recognized. We have, for instance, the Smart Zone Best Small Business Award category, where different innovative or companies that are showing a lot of growth and success with tech commercialization are recognized as well.
So talk about the 50 to watch a little bit. Those are a little bit later stage companies, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. So the a Michigan 50 company to watch company is a company with between about 5 and 100 employees, as well as between $750,000 and $50 million in revenue. So you, typically they're a company that's been around maybe for 5 years or so, but there's no restriction on how long the company has been operating, as long as they have some demonstrated revenue for at least the past couple of years. So that's definitely our most substantial award category is the Michigan 50 Company to Watch. And it's really great once we have the selection process for that finalized in the beginning of the next calendar year. It's incredible to see all of the economic impact from those 50 companies come together in aggregate and look at the contributions that cohort has made to the state economy.
And those companies are not just tech companies, right? Those are from a really wide variety of sectors, at least in my
experience. Absolutely. That's great. Yes, we have incredible diversity in the Michigan 50 in terms of industry. Every industry is represented there. We have regional representation from every part of the state as well.
And right now is the nominating time. I'm not sure. I know it's open now, but I don't know until it runs until when.
Yes, nominations opened last month, and they are open until October 31st. And this has already demonstrated itself as one of the most active and highly responsive nomination seasons in the history of the program, which is really fitting for our 15th anniversary. So we've seen a lot of excitement out there, and you can still go out and submit your nomination anytime between now and October 31st. And it's really easy to do that. All you have to do is go to our homepage at MichiganCelebrates.org and think about the companies in your community or companies that you've interacted with that really have that success that you think should be recognized at the gala. And click the link on the homepage to go to our nomination platform, and it's all pretty self-explanatory there.
How many, you begged the question, how many folks have nominated or been nominated so far?
Yes, great question. So for the Michigan 50 companies to watch, we have already had 220 companies nominated this year. And if you total up all of the award categories, we have well more than 300 companies nominated. Last year, at the end of the season, we had over 600 total nominations, and we expect to far exceed that this year.
Yeah, it sounds like.
So are self-nominations allowed? How much of that do you see?
Yes, absolutely. I think sometimes people are a little hesitant to self-nominate, but we highly encourage you to self-nominate. If this is something you're interested in, you can take a look at the award criteria, and if you're a fit, you have nothing to lose submitting that nomination. And any companies that are nominated are also invited to a special reception on November 29th for all of the nominees and different supporters of the program, where you just get to meet and speak with other nominees as well as people involved with the program and enjoy the evening.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the awards ceremony in May. I've been there a few times, and it's pretty elaborate. Is it still at the Lansing Center?
Yes, so we actually are transitioning the venue this year. We've been at the Lansing Center for many years, and it's been a great venue, but we also know that people like to see new things. So we are transitioning to a new venue. I can't actually announce that just yet, but we are in the stages of finalizing that. So stay tuned. In the next week or so, you should hear some exciting news about the location of the 2019 gala.
But it's still in Lansing or elsewhere?
That's correct. It will still be hosted in Lansing.
Okay.
All right. So what are the other awards that are passed out besides the 50 to watch? Talk a little bit about that if you could.
Certainly. We have, in addition to 50 to watch, the Innovation Award, which recognizes a company that has unveiled an innovation in a product or service or process in the past few years that has been a game changer for the market. And we also have our Best Small Business Awardees. And with those, various community and small business support organizations such as Smart Zones or PTAX or SBDCs select the clients that they've worked with that have demonstrated a really strong relationship with that organization and a lot of success and growth as a company. So there's those awards as well. And the Small Business Administration, the Michigan District Office, also hosts quite a few awards. And those are part of a national program that in Michigan are presented alongside in coordination with Michigan Celebrates Small Business. So those include Veteran-Owned Business of the Year, Woman-Owned Business of the Year, Young Entrepreneur of the Year, and quite a few others.
Is there any way, or have you at all tracked the performance of all these 50 company winners? Now we're up to, let's see, if I do quick math, that'd be 750, or at least 700, because we've got the next 50 batch coming in. But of those 700 companies that have won these awards in the past, have you tracked them to see whether how much they've grown over that time or what kind of impact they've had on the economy or anything like that?
Absolutely. We actually publish an annual alumni survey for the Michigan 50. And we do track their growth trends and everything that they've been doing since they received the award. And I don't have that information at hand right now, but that's certainly something we do have available. And related to that as well, we also have our Michigan 50 Distinguished Alumni Awards. So previous awardees, one of those 700 or 750 Michigan 50 companies to watch, can apply for an alumni award to come back and be recognized for their continued success and their continued growth as a member of the program.
Do you recall who have won those in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, Ready Rock out of Northwest Michigan won for the Strategically Focused Michigan 50 Alumni Award, which is awarded to a company that has demonstrated increased growth and diverse strategic diversification of their sales. And then Atomic Object here in Grand Rapids was recognized for the Most Engaged Workplace Award that recognizes a company for really demonstrating a strong culture and a really well-engaged workplace.
Well, and Carl Erickson's got his fingers in lots of things. So he's got an office in Ann Arbor. He's got one in downtown Detroit. He's an investor in Blue was it Blue Madeiro, or how was that pronounced?
Blue Madeira.
Blue Madeira, yeah. Yep. He's a founder or co-founder of that. I mean, Carl, not bad for an old GVSU computer science guy, right? You know, so.
No, not at all, not at all.
All right, well, so we've got a couple minutes left in the show here. Let's talk a little bit about, again, how people, where can people go to nominate their own company or another company, or where do they find that information?
Yes, go to MichiganCelebrates.org, which is our homepage. And right there on the homepage, you will see a link that says nominate a company. So you can click that link, and that'll take you into our nomination system. You can also, if you navigate that page, go under the About tab and find award categories, and that will list all the different award categories that are presented there. You can also, of course, contact me, Josh Marco, and I'm happy to talk to you about the program and answer any questions you may have about being involved. You can reach me on my direct line at 616-331-7373.
All right, Josh, how long have you been with the Small Business Development Centers? I'm just curious. Yeah, what's your background? You got just a couple minutes left.
Yes, sure. I've been with the Michigan SBDC for about a year and a half, since April of 2017, when I became involved. I work with the Michigan Small Business Development Center is the managing partner of Michigan Celebrates Small Business. So I'm very involved with the Michigan Celebrates program through my role here, as well as some other Michigan SBDC programs. And prior to joining the Michigan SBDC, I worked in motorsports for about 5 years with a racing venue down in South Haven. I don't get to drive as many Ferraris here at the SBDC, but
I thought that'd be part of your It's not part of your compensation package.
No, not just yet. I'm not sure how the taxpayers would look upon my Ferrari rental.
Well, at least it would have to be a domestic, I think. So
that's fair.
All right. Once again, the website for the Michigan Celebrates Small Business and the Awards.
MichiganCelebrates.org. Right there to the homepage, you can submit a nomination.
All right. Thanks very much, Joshua Marco of the Michigan Small Business Development Center. We'll be right back in just a moment with another segment of the M-Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are indeed listening to the M-Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are indeed listening to the M-Squared TechCast right here at PodcastDetroit.com.
Indeed. The only place you're listening to a podcast at this very moment, we hope.
And past podcasts are available at other fine purveyors of podcasts. How many more P's can I get in there?
Yeah, right. Get them all in there, right?
Okay.
Okay. Calling in from Lansing, we have Raj Dawes. Who is the, is it Chief Information Security Officer? Is that what I call you, Raj?
Yeah, but here my title is Chief Security Officer.
Okay.
But it's the same.
Same thing. Okay. And what he's going to be talking about is what's coming up at the end of the month on October 29th at COBO, which will be the 7th North American International Cyber Summit, which will be the creator of that event, the Governor Snyder, will be sort of on his farewell tour. That'll be the last time he'll be hosting that event, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so why don't you, I've attended maybe three or four of these, and I know it's a big draw. Like you get like 1,000 people or so to attend, don't you?
Yes, last year we had almost 900 people, and people stayed till 4 p.m. With a lot of good content. So I highly recommend attending it this year.
All right. And okay. So you're looking at a lot of different things. Now, last year you had, maybe I'm thinking of a different conference, but I know we had the Assistant Attorney General of the United States at one of the conferences, but that might have been another conference. But typically you get, was it your conference?
He was here, Rod Rothstein. He was here as a keynote speaker for the same conference last year.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I was thinking that he was here for this conference. Sometimes they kind of blend together. I get to quite a few of them. So you have a really cool keynote speakers lined up that you can tell us about right now?
We are working on two keynote speakers. One is confirmed. He's from area. He's a very respected cybersecurity, expert and industry leader. The second slot, we are still working to fill. We are very close, most probably from D.C., who can provide us really good information about what's happening in cyber federal space for cybersecurity. And then we are also bringing in a lot of people from different sectors, law enforcement, business, economic development, education, personal use, information technology. So we're assembling a really good, very diverse program throughout the day. And if I may add a few more things, first of all, it's open to public and the cost is $85 per person. We offer, of course, a fee waiver to students and some other folks. It's all listed on michigan.gov/cybersummit. So you will find all the good information there. This year, our MC is Kristen Judge, who is the CEO and president of Cybercrime Support Network. She's a known entity in this space. She has been in these events, so she will be MCing it. And then, of course, Dave DeVries, the Michigan CIO and director of DTMB, will be there. Governor Snyder will be doing his opening remarks. And then we have some other sister states participating too as part of National Governors Association. David Cachigel, who is the Wisconsin CIO, Patrice Mosley from Indiana, and Joshua Spence from West Virginia. So we have a very diverse panel. Just let me know when to stop and go on the next topic.
No, you're on a roll there. Keep going.
Yeah. No problem at all.
I stick with you.
I wanted to ask you, Raj. I see one of your biggest panels here. You've got six people on the panel. Is workforce development? That's a huge issue in this field, isn't it?
That's correct, and that lines up with Governor Snyder's Marshall Plan. So we are looking forward to have that panel discussion. It's really important topics. At State of Michigan, as well as when I connect with my counterparts from private industry, whether you go to Ford or you go to GM or you go to Beaumont Health, everybody has the same issue, finding the right cyber resources. And so we thought this panel will be very timely. There is another panel which I'm hosting in the beginning that's more focused on collaboration side. So there is a lot of information sharing between private and public partners. And how to collaborate better in this space is a question. So we will have some really good discussion on a TED Talk format. I've assembled four people from different areas who will provide some good insight. I want to highlight one more thing for this summit, which is the High School Cyber Challenge. This year, we have approximately 241, if I'm correct, schools participating in a cyber challenge which started on October 1st. And this will be culminating on October 29th, where we will pick up the winners. This is usually coordinated by Merit Network, who is our partner. Merit Network is based out of Ann Arbor, and they coordinate this for us. Governor takes a lot of pride in this competition, and this helps with the future cyber force development too. So this year, you will be surprised if you are at the event. You will see some on-site job interviews for these high schoolers. There are companies who are interested in hiring these folks, and we'll have some job site interviews. We are also going to give them stipend, free stipend to get some certification from CyberRange and operated by Merit Network. So a lot of new and cool things this year at the summit.
It seems like if there was a university around town somewhere that, you know, catered to STEM education, Matt, that they might want to be there to interview some of these folks.
Yeah,
what do you think there, Matt?
I would think so. Yeah, some of those high school students would be natural for our computer science program, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I just remember Eastern Michigan is coming there as a sponsor.
Oh, well, then definitely. So LTU, you guys better sign up.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
Yeah, so they will be there. We will have some representation as participants from, I bet MSU, my counterpart, promised me he will be there. So we are looking forward to a really good, fun day there.
And I think the $85 includes a little food, right? You feed the people so they don't have to go out to the food carts outside of Detroit there or anything like that, right?
No, we will feed them well this morning. So good food and coffee and everything, yeah.
Prime rib for lunch. I think it was prime rib for lunch, right? So no, maybe I got that wrong. So
it will be healthy. Let me put it
healthy,
this way.
Yes, healthy,
really
lunch.
Healthy food.
Yes, very good. Let's talk about the state of cybersecurity in the state of Michigan. I know in part because of the governor's efforts out there that we have had actually we're noted as one of the top three or four states in the country for cybersecurity. Are we not?
That's correct. I think you are very correct. Governor Snyder gave us the vision when he came on board. So ours was the first state to create a cyber disruption response plan. In the event something happens, hey, what to do? So that's one thing. We have a very good ecosystem, cyber ecosystem within the state of Michigan, where we operate internally with the Michigan State Police, National Guards, and externally with our partners. So we host two cyber forums. One is focused on healthcare, and another one is focused on financial industry. So we are very fortunate to have that kind of ecosystem, but it was all started by Governor Snyder. And then lastly, I want to mention one more thing. I'm sure you both have seen it. MIC3, Michigan Cyber Civilian Corps.
Yep.
We were the first in the nation to start that. And Governor spends his lunchtime with this group of folks. These are all, you can call them voluntary cyber firefighters. We have approximately 100 plus members, and we host them. So State of Michigan, DTMB, hosts them throughout the year. We have four events. The fourth one is the event on October 29th, where Governor meets with them and talks to them about progress. He is very interested in this thing. And we are helping other states now stand up these kind of unit, but Michigan definitely is a leader in this space.
All right. One of the things that I thought for a little bit of fun during this event, which is very serious, obviously, very serious topic, but I also see on the agenda demonstrations by Kibbe, the Michigan State Police cyber dog. Mm-mm. Please tell me what a cyber tell me what a cyber dog does.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of times cyber investigations turn into criminal investigation by Michigan State Police. And what happens, you know, most of the time, people hide the information in memory sticks, you know, those memory sticks plug into laptop, the USBs. And this cyber dog is trained to sniff. So but for your information, those memory sticks, they use a typical glue, and this cyber dog is the expert in sniffing that glue. So wherever you hide it in your barn or your, farm, the cyber dog will find those memory sticks for you. So this you will see, it's very interesting.
Okay.
And Michigan State Police uses them for their investigation.
Glue sniffing was popular in high school, but I think that's a different kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
I think that was a different intent.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Just slightly.
Maybe laughter to think about it.
Yeah.
I know we're under constant cyber attack. I mean, I've heard statistics from your predecessors, but it's a staggering amount of bad people trying to get into the state network. What's the numbers up to these days?
It's definitely whatever you have heard last year is probably up by 5 to 10%. I don't have the exact number for this year right now with me. But yeah, staggering amount of attacks. Most of it machine generated. That means somebody is sitting out somewhere in the world and sending those messages to us. But you know, we run our security operations here at State of Michigan 24/7. It's very important for us to make sure that citizens' data is secured and stays in an integral manner. So we run 24/7 operations to mitigate these attacks. 90% of them are kind of like mitigated easily. 10% of them are investigated to the fully extent and then preventive actions taken, which can be stopping those IP addresses to send us any information. So we have a very capable team here, which does that 24/7.
I also noticed there's a program on the agenda for the intersection of cybersecurity and the automotive industry, vehicular cybersecurity for the connected and autonomous vehicle. Talk about that for just a bit, if you could.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm sure you have heard of ACM, American Center of Mobility in Ypsilanti. This was the old Willow Run Airport, if you remember, had been converted into a place where auto manufacturers can test their connected vehicles, which is the roads are equipped with all the sensors and everything, and then connected vehicles will be tested. So with our Michigan Department of Transportation and some of the large-scale auto companies and ACM, we are involved in the joint project where we are collaborating with each other, whether it's a policy or standards, whether it's a collection of the data while you are operating a connected vehicle. And again, making sure that connected vehicle infrastructures is not hacked. I'm sure there have been demonstrations by TARDAC and other where, you know, they hack the vehicle and create safety issues. So we are all working together, and we'll talk about this during the summit. I was trying to get my counterparts from General Motors and Ford also to come participate in it. Some of them will be there. But this is the new frontier. So this will get popular and popular. We have just started on it. So you will hear a very interesting panel there.
All right, Raj, give people some more information one more time on where they can go to sign up for this event, please. And then we're out of time.
Well, if they can go to michigan.gov/cybersecurity, they can sign up. It's $85. If you're a student, it's free for you. It will be a very diverse and all day of very good events. Good content all through the day, breakout sessions, panels, keynotes, and, of course, good food.
All right.
And nice view. It's right on Cobo.
Yes, sir. You get a nice view of Canada there. So.
And the river.
And the river, yes. All right. Well, that's great. Well, that's Rajiv Das, who's the Chief Security Officer, for the State of Michigan, who is one of our hosts for the Michigan Cyber Summit on October 29th at Cobo.
That's 2 weeks from today.
It is, yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks. We'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
Excuse me, and Mike Brennan. I was looking at my notes there.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast, and right now we have a longtime friend of the show here, Mr. Terry Bean from Motor City Connect. And Terry, you got a pretty interesting lunch and learn coming up here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you? It's good to be back.
All right.
Always a pleasure. October 23rd, the fourth Tuesday of the month, as always, Motor City Connect is bringing a bunch of the area's connectors and networkers and business professionals and marketers and cool folks in general. And we always enjoy a nice little lunch. We're going to be doing something with MC Witches out of Ferndale this particular month. But we're going to have a special guest, man. We're going to have Tom Lawrence of Lawrence Technology Systems. And Tom actually runs a podcast over there at Podcast Detroit near you guys every Sunday morning, talking about Linux. So, you know, some of your friends might actually be listening to that kind of dorkiness. You guys are into that stuff, right? Linux.
I'm never up Sunday morning to listen to dorkiness. So,
yeah, you kind of calendarize your dorkiness, right?
That's
like,
it.
Am I getting out of bed for this?
That's it. Yeah, that's my one morning to sleep in, you know, so. But anyway, yes, I think I may actually, I normally have another event I do on Tuesdays, my yoga class in Ann Arbor, but I think I might blow that one off, come in and check out what he has to say. So what makes him so successful with YouTube videos, or is that what we're going to learn all about at the event?
So a little bit of both, man. He is successful at YouTube videos. I'll tell you, he gets upwards of a couple of 100,000 views a video. He's got 36,000 subscribers to his channel. He's been doing it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, maybe a little bit longer at this point. We'll find that out for sure. But he told me, man, the first 1,000 was the hardest to get. And after that, as long as you stay consistent and you keep that camera rolling, that subscriber list keeps rolling up too. So it's kind of cool, and I'm looking forward to it. Tom's a real pragmatic guy, super down to earth. He's a tech guy for sure, but you know he's got a good following, and it's because he breaks things down and delivers information that's of value, right? The secret to your success too, right? Taking those conversations.
Well, I don't have 36,000 people following me, but it'd be nice if I did. That's why I was curious, is I have not seen one of his videos, so I don't know exactly what he talked. Is he talking about Linux stuff, or what does he talk about?
He talks mostly about technical stuff. He'll do some, I think one of his biggest, most viewed videos was on firewalls. But he does a lot of how-to stuff. And then I'll tell you what's really cool, Mike and Matt, is he mixes it up. He'll bring in some personality. He and his entire crew down at Lawrence Tech Systems love spicy food. So every once in a while, they'll challenge the local Thai food to see if they can burn their face off. And then they film that, or they'll film themselves eating ridiculous amounts of hot sauce. And it's, like, to me, I get heartburn just watching it, but, you know, your mileage may vary.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't do that real hot, spicy stuff anymore.
I'm a medium guy at the Thai food restaurant. I like it a little bit, but not that much.
Yeah, so.
I'm like, man, depending, if it's the first time I've been there, I'm like trying out their mild plus, man. I want to actually still enjoy the food.
And taste it. Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, my forehead starts sweating and it gets in my eyes. I can't see. Not that, you know, it's not the hair. It's just the forehead sweat.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about 1230 Woodward. Actually, we have sitting in the studio Dan Keelan, who, you know, he's my partner on another project.
For sure.
Hey, Terry.
He's been at 1230 Woodward. How you doing, Dan?
I'm great. How are you?
So,
man, I'm good. I saw that you were there. I feel like I missed you.
Yeah. So I know about a year ago I turned that place. It's like a co-working spot. Is that what it is, or what is it?
So, you know, it's interesting. We keep going back and forth on if we're going to have a co-working spot, if we're going to blow up and just build a big marketing agency that's doing branded content. So we've had conversations in both, but I've got a couple of people in there that are renting out some space from us. You know, so if your business aligns in the marketing world, social media, or if you do like CSS, HTML stuff, or a little bit of web development or website development, I'd love to have you come by, take a look at the space, because we've got a lot of work that we like to flip over the wall. You know, people that are managing social media or building the WordPress sites, we don't necessarily want to do that work for our clients or for other clients, but we come across it all the time. So if we had people that were aligned and we could build some business for, we're happy to have that conversation. But in the same breath, we're building out, like I said, a branded content studio. And we still do a lot of the heavy-duty back-end programming as well. So we've got our fingers in a couple of different places. But it's been a lot of fun. I'm working with an old partner, Mike McClintock, and a new partner, Greg Evans. And both of those gentlemen have been in the technology and web development space for close to 20 years. So it's a pretty good team, and we're having a heck of a lot of fun. And so, yeah, I'm hauling my cookies from White Lake to Ferndale, you know, maybe 3 or 4 times a week at this point.
How far of a drive is that?
If, you know, it's about 42 miles.
Ooh,
so
you're like not, me coming in from Ann Arbor horrible. Then, huh? You know, so.
Yeah, you know, it's not horrible, but, you know, when you live up in northern Oakland County, you can't get there from here. And it doesn't really matter where you're going, man. Yeah. There'd be a lake between you.
Yeah.
Which, Lord knows, I'm not complaining. I'm trying to figure out how, if it's still too windy to get on that paddleboard yet. So, and I'm going to get out there anyway, so I don't really care.
Well, I'm going to try to make that event. I don't know if Dan's going to try to make it, but maybe we can talk to you about what we've got going on our project. We'll talk off air about that separately. But there might be a ways for us to work together. You know, all these entrepreneurs got to hang together or we'll hang separately, right?
Yeah, in the literal sense, in the latter, no doubt. Yeah, make sure if you can, let's see if we can get there a little bit early. The event itself is 11:30 to 1. It's $20. We want to have people order online, and there will be a link. There's a Facebook event page. If you look at Motor City Connect, you'll see the event right pinned to the top, so you can't miss it. I'll be dropping the order form here in the next couple of days by October 18th. It'll be there. People will be able to order their food. And that's $20. If you want to just bring your own and attend the meeting, that's $10. Going to have a spot for that on the order form.
Well, Matt said he'd come. Kind of Matt said he'd come if you had prime rib on the menu, right, Matt?
Sure. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, we're probably still going to have red Solo cups for beverages. So whatever the opposite of prime rib is what I serve up.
Okay. All right.
I am not too fancy, gentlemen. Never have been. Probably won't be.
So tell me a little bit more about that. About 1230 Woodward. I mean, what's the square footage? What's its history? What are you using it for now?
So the guys have been in there for about 2.5 years. It's an old machine shop from a gazillion years ago. It's a great one story space. There's been some interesting companies there. When Josh Linkner was building out fuel leadership in the fuel conferences, that was in there for a while, because Dave Zilko was in there, as part of that. Big Communications, which got bought out by some large agency in Troy, was in there, and they actually filled it. The space that we're in is about just under 10,000 square feet, so we got a ton of room. I don't know, dozen or so offices with doors, and then another 40 or so desks that can be hot desks where people can just kind of come in and hang out. But you know, we've been building out a web development in this product called Onenie, onenie.com. If you check that out, you'll see some of the content that we've been putting together. And it's a pretty interesting business model that I'll get into at a later date. But it's all about the idea of making sure that the content is cool and relevant and driving eyeballs, right? So that's kind of where we are.
Does one involve AR or VR at all? I know you were like the AR VR king there for a while.
No, it really doesn't, man. That model in that market that I was in a year or so ago, I don't know that I want to say that I was in it too early, because I don't know that that's totally true. But the company that I was with, what we were doing was a little far ahead of our time. They, in fact, are gone the way of the dodo at this point. You know, so that space is still coming. It's just going to take a little bit longer. And AR is cool, and VR is cool, and I expect that will take off here in the next 5 years. But you know, my wife and kid are looking at me to, put food on the table every now and again. And
what's up with that?
Just, with future stuff. I know.
Just put your daughter to work. Have her drop out of school and start working. Well, I mean, what's up with that? You know, so.
15, man, go do something. You're a liability at this point. I need you to be an asset. I love that kid, dude. She's totally awesome. Totally awesome. Yeah, so it does involve a lot of AI, though. So we're doing some artificial intelligence. In fact, your friend Kel just did his TyCon event last week.
Yep.
And my friend and partner Mike was one of the judges for their startup competition, and they had a blast doing that. So that was a great event, and you know, looking forward to doing more cool stuff in and around the Detroit area for sure. So we got a nice little AI engine called Matheson that we're working on, which is named after the gentleman who actually founded artificial intelligence.
Oh, good. So it's kind of like,
yeah, man.
Tesla's named for Nikola Tesla and the automobile electric cars. So interesting, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's exactly right. We got to find smart people that are doing smart things. In fact, we were just talking about it. Ava Lovelace and Grace Hopper are both names of conference rooms in our office. Mm. And those are both pioneering women in the technology space. One created the compiler. And I forget what the other one did, but anyway, they maybe wrote the first language. I'm not sure.
All right, Terry. Though. So we got to wrap this up here. I know the event is posted on Facebook. What should people look for on Facebook to find the news for that event on the 23rd?
They should look for Motor City Connect group or the page, either one, and that event will be posted at the top of them, again, for October 12th, or they can search the hashtag MCCLive, L-I-V-E.
Okay, and that's October 23rd for that cool event. We want to thank Terry Bean, our guest here from Motor City Connect, and all of our guests today. We had Michigan Chief Information Security Officer Rajiv Das, Josh Marco from the Michigan Small Business Development Center, and started the show off with Dan Keelan, editor and publisher of Global Automobility, which has a new advertising alliance with my partner here's mitechnews.com.
Yep.
So we'll be back next week with another episode of the M Squared TechCast, 2 p.m. Eastern Time here live, or after the fact, wherever fine podcasts are distributed for free. How about that?
He's got a voice for radio, you know? That
certainly got really a face does. For radio. Okay, yeah. That's the old joke. All right, we'll see you again next Monday. For right now, this is Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Roush and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.